Thank you. And at this time, if you please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth is in the Old Testament. And you'll find page 258 in your pew Bibles. And so it's Advent season. We're starting a new Advent series today called Ruth, A Christmas Story. And you might be wondering, in fact, a bunch of people even this week have asked me, they said, what does Ruth have to do with Christmas? Ruth is in the Old Testament. And isn't Christmas in the New Testament? Well, yes and no. You know, we do come to the turn to the New Testament. We turn to the Gospels to find the actual details of the Christmas story. That's where we find Joseph and Mary and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men and Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. But the Christmas story has deep roots. And it begins in the Old Testament. Because as Pastor Chris is sharing with the scarlet thread, the entire Old Testament points forward to Christ and His coming. So I suppose you could do a message series called Genesis, A Christmas Story, or Isaiah, A Christmas Story, even Leviticus, A Christmas Story. That would be a tough one to pull off, but it could be done. You could actually do a message series called The Old Testament, A Christmas Story, but that would make for a really long Advent season. But you know, the book of Ruth is particularly appropriate to read as a Christmas story for a number of reasons. For one thing, it is actually a story. It's a short story. For those of you who like to read short stories, that's what Ruth is. It's a short story, a true short story, contained in four brief chapters, focusing on just a few main characters and the part that they played in God's amazing plan to save the world through Jesus. It is also appropriate because the events of Ruth bear directly upon the events of Christmas. For example, it's no coincidence that the events of Ruth and then the birth of Christ both take place in the town of Bethlehem. In fact, the whole reason Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we're going to find out why, is because of what takes place in the book of Ruth. And so there's a direct connection between Ruth and the Christmas story. And then finally, as we make our way through the book of Ruth, we will find some remarkable parallels between the story of Ruth and the story of Christmas. For example, we could say that Christmas is the story of a young woman who made a radical commitment of faith to God. We can put this on the screen so people can follow it. Christmas is the story of a young woman who made a radical commitment of faith to God and then journeyed to Bethlehem, where she gave birth to a child who would change the world. You know, when we say that, you go, oh, that's the Christmas story, right? Well, the book of Ruth is the story of, wait for it, a young woman who made a radical commitment of faith to God and then journeyed to Bethlehem, where she gave birth to a child who would change the world. Interesting. So we're going to walk our way through the first chapter of Ruth this morning. We'll take one chapter each week for the 4 weeks of Advent. But we're going to begin by reading verses 15 through 19. Please stand together with me for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that you would speak to us through your word today. Encourage us, challenge us, change us. Help us as we prepare for Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So the book of Ruth is the story of a young woman who made a radical commitment of faith to God and then journeyed to Bethlehem, where she gave birth to a child who would change the world. You know what? Ruth is a very unlikely candidate for such a story. She was not even a Jew. She was from Moab, and the Moabites were long-term enemies of Israel. And so how did Ruth come to have faith in God, and how did she come to arrive in Bethlehem? To answer those questions, we need to begin with another person's story, the story of Naomi. And that's where the book of Ruth begins. It begins with Naomi's story. So let's begin with Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "In those days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there." And so the book of Ruth begins with a flight from Bethlehem, which is interesting because the Christmas story also contains a flight from Bethlehem. You know, a Sunday school teacher asked the kids in her class to draw a picture of their favorite Bible stories. And one little boy drew a picture of an airplane with four people in it. And she was going through the pictures, and so she asked him, she said, "I'm confused." She goes, "Which story is this?" And he goes, "Oh, that's the flight from Bethlehem." And she goes, "Oh, okay, well, four people." She goes, I see, okay, yeah, there's Joseph, there's Mary, and there's baby Jesus. But who's this guy up front?" He goes, "That's Pontius the pilot, of course." Well, back to Ruth and her flight from Bethlehem. You know, verse 1 tells us this story took place in the days when the judges ruled. And we don't want to skip past that. That's a very important statement. In fact, the very last book in the book of Judges, the last verse tells us the two most important things about the days when the judges ruled. Judges 21:25 says that in those days Israel had no king. And secondly, everyone did as he saw fit. So there was no king in Israel. And this was a time when Israel was not following God's commands. And so when we read that this was the time when the judges ruled and there was a famine in the land, that famine was not a coincidence. That was a judgment of God upon the land. It was all part of God's plan to bring his people back to him. Now, Naomi and her family left Bethlehem, the flight from Bethlehem. They escaped the famine, and they went to Moab. And they probably only intended to live there for a while, but you know how things go. Once they got there, they settled in, and Moab soon became their new home. But sadly, things did not go any better for Naomi in Moab than they did in Bethlehem. We read in verses 3 through 5, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. And after they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. And so Naomi left Bethlehem to escape trouble, but she ended up losing her husband and her two sons in Moab instead. And so the book of Ruth really opens with a series of terrible losses for Naomi. She left her homeland, she lost her husband, she lost both of her sons. Naomi lost everything in her flight from Bethlehem. The flight from Bethlehem in the Christmas story also involves terrible loss. After Jesus was born and the Magi came and worshiped him, we read in the Gospel of Matthew, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so is fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. The people in the book of Ruth, the people in the Christmas story, were no strangers to loss. Perhaps you are struggling with loss this Christmas season. Please know that God is working in your life, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And God was working in Naomi's life, even though she could not see it at the time. And he was working to bring good out of her suffering, and he would do that through a young Moabite woman named Ruth. Now, we met Ruth briefly back in verse 4. She was the one who married one of Naomi's sons before they died. But now as we move into this next section of the story, we are going to see Ruth make a radical commitment of faith, which is going to change everything for Naomi, everything for Ruth, and indeed everything for the world. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 6, Naomi learns that the famine is over in Israel, so she prepares to journey back. She's going to go back to Bethlehem. And at first, her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, they begin the journey with her. Partway there, though, Naomi stops, and she tells them, go back to Moab. And there's some back and forth where they argue with her. They say, no, we'll go with you. And she says, no, go back. And then finally, Orpah says, okay. Orpah kisses her mother-in-law goodbye, and she goes back to Moab. It's the last we ever hear of her. Meanwhile, Ruth remains, and she's just clinging to Naomi on the road to Bethlehem. Naomi tells her one last time, she says, look, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. And that is when Ruth makes her radical commitment of faith. And we see this in verses 16 and 17. And Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. And so Ruth pledges herself to Naomi and to Naomi's people, but most important of all, she pledges herself to Naomi's God. She pledges herself to the Lord. In the New Testament, we read how the Thessalonians turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And that is exactly what Ruth does here. Orpah, she went back to her people and her gods. Ruth made a radical break from her people and their false gods, and she commits herself in faith to the Lord, the God of Israel. Notice that this is a life commitment that Ruth makes. She commits not simply for the length of Naomi's life. In other words, she's not saying, look, I'll go back and I'll take care of you. When you die, then I'll go back to my people. No, she commits to serving the Lord in Israel for the rest of her own life. She says, where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, I will be buried. To be buried in Israel would mean complete separation for Ruth from her people and her ancestors and the gods that they had worshipped in Moab forever. This was a radical faith commitment to the Lord, which would not only change Ruth's and Naomi's lives, but would have repercussions that would change the world. And when I read about Ruth's faith in God, I'm reminded of another young woman who made a radical commitment of faith that changed the world. I think about Mary in the New Testament. Mary was just a young woman when God sent the angel Gabriel to her with some startling news. For this, we turn to Luke chapter 1. The angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God. And then Mary spoke her radical words of faith. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Mary not only believed the word that God gave her through the angel, an amazing word. You are going to give birth to the Messiah, to him as king over all things. She not only believed this word, she submitted to this word in obedience. And folks, this was a difficult obedience for Mary. This is an obedience that would put her life at risk. This was an obedience that would tarnish her reputation. This was an obedience where also she would risk losing her relationship with Joseph, to whom she was engaged to be married. But like Ruth, Mary laid it all on the line. She made a radical commitment of faith that changed the world. If you want to make a difference in this world, you need to be a person of faith. You cannot accomplish anything of lasting significance apart from and without faith in God. Now, you may not change the world. Mary and Ruth, they're major players in God's plan for the ages, aren't they? But I guarantee you that when you put your faith in God and when you act on that faith, it will change your world and those around you. Like Mary and Ruth, we need to be people who make a radical commitment of faith to God. So now let's go back to Ruth, and we'll pick the story up in Ruth chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem, and when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" And so when Naomi arrives in Bethlehem with Ruth, we read the whole town was astir. They couldn't believe it. Could this really be Naomi back again after all these years? Now flash forward to the Christmas story. Because the Christmas story also describes a town that was all astir. Matthew 2, we read that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And we'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. He asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." The whole city of Jerusalem was astir at the news that the Messiah had been born. They even knew the location. They told Herod himself, "Well, in Bethlehem, Judea." Everybody knows that. That's what the prophet wrote. Bethlehem was only 6 miles away from Jerusalem. And yet we don't read that anyone bothered to make the trip to see their newborn king. When Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." You see, the name Naomi means pleasant. The name Mara means bitter. Naomi left Bethlehem 10 years earlier. She had a husband. She had 2 sons. She was full of hope for the future. Now she's returned empty-handed. So she tells the people, "Don't call me pleasant anymore. Call me bitter." She goes on to say, "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Naomi was in a real dark place when she returned to Bethlehem. She was hurting. She didn't know that God was working to bring good out of her situation. And yet God was there working all the time. She just couldn't see it. I love how the first chapter of Ruth ends. Because the very last verse of the chapter, we read this. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." But God continues to call her Naomi. That's his right. Because God has good plans for her. So he continues to call her by her name. We also learn that the barley harvest was beginning. The harvest is a sign of God's grace and new beginnings. And so after a very dark opening chapter, there's a break of light, and you get the sense that things are about to change for Ruth and Naomi. So what are some of the parallels between Ruth and the Christmas story? Well, we've seen several. There are a number here in this first chapter alone. Let me pick up on a couple that we might have missed. You know, the book of Ruth begins in the time of the judges when there was no king in Israel. The Christmas story is about Jesus, who was born king, king of the Jews, was worshipped by kings from afar. The book of Ruth begins with a famine in Bethlehem, which is ironic because the name Bethlehem means house of bread. And so the story of Ruth begins, there was no bread in Bethlehem. What is the message of Christmas? There is bread in Bethlehem. Jesus, the bread of life, came down from heaven and was born in Bethlehem on Christmas morning. And then we've seen the most remarkable parallel. The book of Ruth is about a young woman who made a radical commitment of faith to God, which resulted in her traveling to Bethlehem, where she gave birth to a child who would change the world. And that is exactly the story of Christmas. God was at work in Bethlehem in the days of Ruth and Naomi. God was at work in Bethlehem in the days of Joseph and Mary. And God is at work now in the lives of those who come to him through Jesus for salvation. He's at work in your life. In closing, listen to the third verse of Phillips Brooks' Christmas Carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. We sang this a little earlier this morning. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the God who is sovereign, that you're in control of all things. Lord, sometimes in our hurt, in our pain, we can't see how you are working. It's easy for us to get in a dark place like Naomi. Lord, help us to trust that you will work all things together for good, for those who love you, are called according to your purpose. Lord, help us like Ruth and like Mary to be people of faith, to lay it all on the line. Say, Jesus, I give you my whole life. You are my God, you are my King, you are my Savior. Lord, you gave your all to all for us. Let us give our all for you. Let us be people who make radical commitments of faith that we might change the world around us through Jesus. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.